I welcome you all as we are continuing our yatra in Srirangam. Today is a very auspicious day. Where blessings are pouring upon us. Every sort of way. Today is the auspicious appearance day of one of the great disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who's one of the leading Vaishnavas of our movement in South India, a great Sanskrit scholar who has translated some of the most important works of the previous acharyas into English. Let us all celebrate his appearance by loudly chanting Hari Bol to His Holiness Sripad Bhanu Swami Maharaj. We are fortunate that several of his disciples are here with us today. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells us how it was in the month of Magh, on the waxing fortnight of the moon, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the town of Sri Navadvip Dham to Katwa to accept the renounced order of life, become a sannyasi. He was on his way to Vrindavan after that ceremony. But by the arrangement of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was brought to Shantipur to meet all of the devotees who were feeling such deep separation for him. By his mother's wish, in the month of Palgun, he went to Jagannath Puri. Toward the end of the month, he celebrated the Dola Yatra, dancing and chanting in transcendental ecstatic love. And in the month of Chaitra, he delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then came the month of Vaishakha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one day he brought his very intimate and close associates, held them by the hand, and told them, "You are all more dear to me than my very life. I can give up my life, but to give up the company of all of you will be very, very difficult. You are truly my dearest friends, and you have fulfilled your obligation as friends by bringing me here to live in Jagannath Puri, where every day I am having the darshan of Lord Jagannath. Now, I want to beg charity from you. Please give me permission to travel throughout South India in search of my brother, Vishwarupa. Srila Prabhupada explains herein that Lord Chaitanya is all-knowing. He knew that Vishwarupa had already departed from this world. But he used this as a pretense so that he could visit all the holy places in South India. And while doing that, he could liberate thousands and thousands and thousands of people wherever he went. The devotees were very unhappy to hear this. Their faces were sullen with grief. Lord Nityananda Prabhu said that actually Lord Chaitanya told them, give me permission to go alone. I do not want to bring anyone with me. I will go to the southernmost point of Setu Banda and eventually return. All of you should wait here for me in Jagannath Puri. Nityananda Prabhu said, to go alone is very dangerous. Bring at least one or two people with you, because there are thieves, rogues on the path. You need to be protected. And if you like, I could come with you, because I've already been to all the places on pilgrimage. I know the way, and I'm ready to go. Lord Chaitanya said that I am like your puppet, and you are all pulling my wires, making me dance as you want me to dance. But please hear, I wanted to go to Vrindavan. And you, Lord Nityananda, you tricked me. You brought me to Advaita Prabhu's house. I'm trying to follow the principles of a sannyasi, and you took my danda and broke it and threw it in the river. And as far as Jagadananda Pandit, as I'm trying to live as a sannyasi, sleeping on the ground, taking 3 cold baths a day, Jagadananda Pandit, you are trying to give me all sorts of sense gratification. And if I try to live according to the strict principles that I desire, you became so angry that you fast in order to force me to accept your offerings. And Mukunda, when Mukunda sees me enduring these great difficulties, Mukunda Dutt, he feels so unhappy. And when I see his unhappiness, I become twice as unhappy. And Damodar Pandit, you're a brahmachari, I'm a sannyasi. You're supposed to be following me. But your interpretation, whenever I do not follow the principles of etiquette, you chastise me as if you have a rod in your hand. Srila Kaviraj Goswami explains these are the 4 devotees that were with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is controlled by the good qualities of his devotees. But on the pretense of criticizing them, he's tasting the sweetness of those good qualities. Because he understood that they acted this way out of their pure, unmotivated love for him. And that love conquers the heart of the Lord. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a mission while going to South India. And therefore, it was necessary that they not come with him. Lord Chaitanya told that I want to live according to these principles of renunciation without interference. Therefore, I will not take you. I will go alone. At the same time, Lord Chaitanya was saying, I am not independent. I am begging for your permission. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, you are the supreme independent personality of Godhead. You can do what you like. But when you're traveling, as you're walking through the along the footpaths, with one hand you're going to be chanting the holy names of Krishna, and with another hand you're going to be counting the chanting. But you're going to have extra sets of clothes, and you're going to have your water pot. So you need someone to carry them for you. So take this one man, Kala Krishnadas. He's not an intimate inside associate like we are. You will not even know he's there. He will not say a word unless you want him to. He'll walk behind you and carry whatever is required. Lord Chaitanya agreed. Then he went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and told Sarvabhauma that I am coming to seek your permission to go throughout South India in search for my brother Vishwaroop, who had taken sannyas and disappeared from home. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fell at the Lord's feet and clasped them very hard, crying. I have wasted my life up until this old age. And at last you came to deliver me. And now you want to leave? It is unbearable. But at the same time, you are the Lord and you could do whatever you wish. At least stay a few days more with me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed 5 days at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where Sarvabhauma's wife, Sati Mata, and him prepared wonderful prasad for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya, among all of his devotees, spent their time hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the holy names and Nam Sankirtan. At that time, after the 5 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again requested the permission of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And the way he did it, Srila Prabhupada tells us, was very, very instructive. Lord Chaitanya begged for Sarvabhauma's blessings. He said, while you are at home worshiping your family deity, please bless me, so that I could return from Setu Banda to Jagannath Puri. And therein, Srila Prabhupada tells us that Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi. He's in the fourth order of life. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a grihastha, householder with wife and children, family responsibilities. Usually, sannyasis are expected to give blessings to householders. But Lord Chaitanya, who's not only a sannyasi, but who is the Supreme Lord, is sincerely appealing for the blessings of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Srila Prabhupada explains that for one who wants to make real spiritual advancement, one should seek and expect blessings from Vaishnavas, regardless of their particular social position. And a devotee's home becomes the spiritual world, because Krishna is seated within the heart and reveals himself according to our devotion. Srila Prabhupada cites Bhaktivinoda Thakur from the Sharanagati. There's a beautiful song, Shuddha Bhakata, where he tells how when I come to my home with my family and I worship the Supreme Lord, I can experience that my house is transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan. And the Gokula Vrindavan of this world is not different than the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. And wherever devotees are sincerely rendering service with love to the Lord, that is a holy place. That is Vrindavan. Last night, we were discussing Mahapurna, the primary guru of Sri Ramanujacharya. After getting his eyes burned out, he was in a forest, a lonely forest. He was dying. They said, let us take you to Sri Rangam. Quraish and his daughter. He said, I will lay my head in the lap of Quraish, because a devotee who carries Krishna in her heart through service of love and devotion, that heart is all the holy places. To die in the lap of a Vaishnav is to die in the holiest of all holy places. And he wanted to establish this principle. Advaitacharya told Lord Chaitanya that wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. And factually, wherever a devotee is engaged in the loving service of the Lord, that is Vrindavan. Sometimes our tendency is we become very much in the conception that I require changes of situations for the transformation of the heart. But throughout Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India, he was impressing upon everyone he met that the real transformation is of the heart. So yes, wherever the devotees are gathered together to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, and wherever a devotee is engaged in sincere, selfless devotional service, that is where all the holy places are to be found. Bhavadvida Bhagavati Tirtha Bhuta Swayamvibhu. In regard to Vidura, Yudhisthira Maharaj tells us in Srimad Bhagavatam, because you carry Krishna in your heart, wherever you go are all the holy places. Grihe thako, vane thako, sadahadi bole thako. Whether one is a grihastha or what is a brahmachari or sannyasi, these are just social positions. But we can go beyond the happiness and distress in this world and reveal Krishna when we sincerely and honestly take shelter of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya, in his humility, is begging Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when you are doing your puja at home, bless me so that I can return to Puri. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took leave. He began to walk toward Alalanath. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya walked with him for some time. And he told Gopinathacharya, bring 4 sets of loincloths and external clothes for Lord Chaitanya and give them to Kala Krishnadas to carry. And Sarvabhauma was always in the mood of service. The finest details. He was enthusiastic to offer the Lord. At a certain point, Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma that now you must return home. Sarvabhauma fell to the ground unconscious. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even look back. He just walked forward. And therein, Kaviraj Goswami tells that great souls could be hard like a thunderbolt or soft like a rose. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had expressed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I could bear a thunderbolt crashing directly against my head. I could tolerate the death of my own son. But I cannot bear separation from you, my Lord. Those were his feelings. When the Lord walked away, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was in such a traumatic state of loving separation that he fell to the ground unconscious, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept walking. Hard like a thunderbolt, soft like a rose, according to what is most beneficial for everyone, great personalities act and cannot always be easily understood. Sometimes great souls seem soft when they should be hard, and other times are very hard when it seems that they should be soft. But when one is empowered with the grace of God in a spirit of compassion, it's not always that easy to externally understand if we don't have that purity of heart or that compassion. Nityananda Prabhu picked up Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya with some others and brought him back home. And then they all went to meet Lord Chaitanya at the temple of Alalanath. It's nice to talk about that here, because another pronunciation is Alwarnath, because this particular deity used to be in South India and was worshipped by the Alwars of the Sri Sampradaya. But in course of time, was brought to Orissa to live near the seashore and had a temple built not far from Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had darshan of Alwarnath, then began to sing and to dance. As he was singing and dancing, tears were pouring from his eyes. He would dance with such incredibly transcendental transformations manifesting on his body. And his chanting of the holy names in this mood of Sri Radha was so powerful that whoever heard it, it penetrated their hearts and awakened their original spiritual consciousness. Soon dozens of people, they came to the Alarnath temple, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced them all to chant Hari Hari. They were chanting. Then dozens more There were hundreds. Soon the crowd swelled to thousands of people, seeing the beauty of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mystical dance. They were all dancing and chanting with him. It was a downpour of ecstatic love of God. This is incredible. Any one of you can expect that on top of your head at any moment. When Lord Nityananda saw all of these thousands of people literally floating in the ocean of love of God, being pushed up and down by the ecstasies of that love in the form of waves, Nityananda Prabhu at that time made his historical prediction that by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, in every town and village, he will induce people to chant the holy name. Srila Prabhupada, he writes that this prediction is not confined only to India, but it was Lord Nityananda Prabhu's desire that the holy names be spread to every town and village throughout the world. Therein, Srila Prabhupada explains within this Krishna consciousness movement, by Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, there has been some success in fulfilling the Lord's desire. The kirtan went on for hours and hours. And when Lord Chaitanya was immersed in his ecstasies of Nam Sankirtan, they could go on forever. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Nityananda Prabhu somehow or other dispersed the crowds because it was time for prasad. Lord Nityananda Prabhu wanted to protect the Lord. That was his love. He was like his older brother, Balaram. Dina Hina Yet. Brajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Shuto Hailo She Balarama Hailo Nita. Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Mother Sachi, and Balaram appeared as Nityananda Prabhu. They were brothers. They were friends. Nityananda Prabhu was always concerned, like a fatherly brother toward the Lord. So Lord Nityananda brought Lord Chaitanya into the temple and closed all the doors. And all the people were outside waiting for his darshan again. Very restless, just waiting and waiting. And the crowds were becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. More people were coming from other places. And they all were waiting for those doors to open. Sri Nityananda Prabhu arranged for the temple to give prasad to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. And after honoring the Mahaprasad of Alalanath, by the Lord's arrangement, the doors, after hours of waiting, they opened. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's magnificent golden form came out from those doors to give his darshan to the masses of people. And he raised his arms, gazing upon them with his beautiful lotus-like eyes filled with compassion, and requested them to all raise their arms and loudly chant, Hari, Hari. again Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in kirtan. The next morning, the Lord told Nityananda and all the devotees that now I am going and you must stay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked in the southern direction. All the gathered devotees, they fell unconscious. It was unbearable. Please imagine, there was no communication in those days. The Lord was going to South India. He may be gone for years. Until he returned and heard from his servant, they would not know anything that happened. There was no websites describing Lord Chaitanya was at Singhachalam today and he danced and there was 5,026 devotees joined him and he ate sambar and idlis. He stayed at this person's house. They would not hear anything from him till he comes back. And that may be years. In fact, they didn't know if he would ever come back. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stole their hearts and then left. So they're falling unconscious. Was an expression of their spontaneous love in desperation and separation. Will he ever return? Where will he go? He was gone. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not even look back at them. You would think if everyone's fainted, you would go back to make sure they're all right. We read, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart was churning in feelings of separation from his devotees. Just as they were feeling toward him, he was feeling toward them. It was reciprocal. He had already told the devotees, and he was being completely honest, speaking from his heart, that you are all more dear to me than my very life. I can give up my life, but it is very difficult to give up your company. That's what the Lord was experiencing. So why did he do it? Why did he inflict such suffering of ecstatic separation on his devotees and bear that same suffering himself? It was for the purpose of giving pure bhakti, devotional service, to the conditioned souls. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. The Lord is willing to leave his own abode to manifest himself in this world. And when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, he told the Brijabasis in Kurukshetra that I had to leave because there were so many demons to kill. I didn't want to inconvenience. I had to do my mission. But that love and separation, Lord Chaitanya taught us, is a most intimate way of experiencing the presence of the Lord, of entering into the pastimes of the Lord. Because in the feelings of separation, our love goes deep into our heart where the Lord reciprocates and embraces us intimately from within. It was to reach the fallen souls that the Lord left all of his devotees and walked forward. It describes he was like a lion, courageous, enthusiastic. When he saw someone in the footpath, he would look at them and with great concern requested them, chant Hari Hari. And that person, he couldn't resist the Lord's mercy. Just to please the Lord, he chanted Hari Hari. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced him to chant the holy names again and again, and that particular person couldn't give up the Lord's association. He would follow Lord Chaitanya. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking or dancing along the footpaths, the dusty roads, going south, he particularly was chanting a prayer. And Srila Prabhupada, he begins the Krishna book with this prayer, which is very interesting. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada begins, before even going to the first sloka of the Bhagavatam, he gives the life history of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he begins Krishna book with this beautiful prayer that Lord Chaitanya was chanting in order to induce the fallen souls without discrimination to become purified and develop their love for Krishna. And that prayer goes like this. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshama. Krishna, 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 Pahi Mam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahi Mam. Krishna 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nithai Gaura Haribo, Bo, Haribo, Gaura Haribo. When that person would be chanting and dancing with the Lord, after some time, he would turn and embrace him and tell him, now you go back to your village, and what you have received from me, share it with everyone you meet. Just carry on with this chanting of the names of the Lord and share this great jewel of Harinam wherever you go. That single person would go back to their village infused with ecstatic love of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered them with his spiritual potency. And herein, Srila Prabhupada explains that one cannot transform another person's heart or induce them to sincerely take shelter of the holy name unless we are empowered by spiritual potency. And that spiritual potency is only possible to access when we please the Supreme Lord or his very dear devotees. One who has that spiritual potency to induce others to take shelter of Krishna and his holy names, we can understand they must be pleasing their guru, the Vaishnavas, and the Supreme Lord to have the power to do that. The word empowered is very significant. We can only do something great spiritually when we are empowered. That means it is not our power. It is God's power. When the Lord is pleased with us, he can infuse us with that power. And when the Lord is displeased with us, he could retract that power. Srila Prabhupada prayed, Krishna, make me your puppet and make you dance as you want me to dance. A puppeteer could make you dance incredibly, or he could just let go of the wires. And what can a puppet do when the puppeteer lets go of the wires? Just fall to the ground. There's no other alternative. So without the Lord's mercy, we will fall into the clutches of Maya and material existence. But the Lord's mercy, we can transcend the modes of material nature, and we can inspire everyone we meet with the opportunity to do the same. When this was spoken of by Gostipurna to Dasarathi, who was a very, very great scholar and a very famous orator, but at one time, at least to show the rest of the world, there was some traces of pride in his heart. He said, if a person has good qualities, primarily simplicity and humility, then when opulences come, that person, their humility and their good qualities only increase. But for one who doesn't have those good qualities, when such opulences come, they become proud. They think that they are their own, and their spiritual lives becomes ruined. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was empowering these people. And he gave us this simple verse, Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iba Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because when we are actually striving and when we really value this quality of being humble like the grass, forbearing, forgiving, and tolerant like a tree, eager to offer respect to others and not to expect for ourselves. That state of consciousness opens our hearts to please the Lord and be empowered. Empowered by His grace. Srila Prabhupada taught us that when we call Him His Divine Grace, Krishna's Jagadguru, it's Krishna's divine grace manifesting through the great souls. So in this way, they would go back to their village, and whoever they glanced upon would chant, Hari Hari. And they were getting entire villages to accept the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And if somebody came to visit that village, they became so infused and empowered through this disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, when they went back to their village, anyone who saw them, their hearts just opened. And then they would tell them, everyone, accept this greatest of all treasures. Chant Hari Hari. Village after village after village were induced to accept the perfection of life through chanting Harinam. Sometimes one person, that's all it took. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, when he embraced them, that was the expression that the Lord was pleased with them. And that is the secret. Because he saw with all humility and gratitude, they were accepting his mercy in the form of the chanting of the holy names, and they were very willing to serve him in his mission of compassion. The Lord embraced them to show, I am pleased with you. And when I am pleased with you, I empower you to do my work within this world. So as devotees, it should not be our ambition to be empowered. It should be our ambition to please the Lord. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati kutopi. If you please the Guru, Krishna's pleased. If you please the Vaishnavas, the Guru is pleased. If you're really and honestly trying to develop qualities of selfless, unselfish devotion, then Guru and Krishna are pleased. Then empowerment comes. If we're looking for empowerment, we cannot attain it. But a humble heart that pleases Krishna becomes genuinely empowered. And that empowerment is sustainable. It is forever. As long as we cultivate good qualities. Sometimes dozens of people were following with the Lord. Sometimes hundreds of people were following with the Lord. And he would embrace them all when he was pleased with them and send them back to their villages. And other times he was all alone, chanting the holy names and dancing through the countryside. He came to a temple in a place called Kurumakshetra, where there is an ancient deity of Kurma Avatar. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod, Prabhupada, they quote how Sripad Ramanujacharya was in Puri, and Jagannath's mysterious ways. This temple in Kurumakshetra was being neglected. In fact, nobody even really knew who the deity was. And there was no standards whatsoever of worship there. So meanwhile, Sripad Ramanujacharya saw in Puri, the pujaris, they had some very different types of orison traditions that were not according to the Vedic process of puja and archana. So he was trying to upgrade the standard of deity worship according to his love and devotion. But Jagannath was pleased with the unorthodox ways that his pujaris were worshiping him at that time. So in a dream, Lord Jagannath, through Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya in this dream felt Lord Jagannath pick him up and throw him. And when he woke up, he was actually in Kurumakshetra, which is several hundred kilometers away. The reason? Twofold. One is, everything you're saying is perfectly right about the puja in Puri, but they have love, so I'm pleased with them. But in Kurumakshetra, this is a very, very important temple, totally neglected. Nobody even knows who I am there. I want you to establish my worship. And Ramanujacharya, he established a worship of Kurmadev there, and to this day it is done with great love and devotion. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he visited there, like everywhere else, he celebrated the beauty and the glory of the Lord through Nam Sankirtan. You sound so hot and tired. So am I, so. There was chanting, dancing. Golokera Premadana Hari Nam Sankirtana. This chanting of this Nam Sankirtan has descended from the spiritual world. How much emphasis Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put on this congregational chanting of the holy names. The most precious of all treasures. Param Vijayate Sukrishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya himself. He tells us in the first verse of Shikshastakam that this congregational chanting of Krishna's names is the supreme benediction for all humanity. And he personally demonstrated it. If we study the pastimes in Navadvip, they were doing kirtan day and night. If we study the Lord's journey in South India, he was doing kirtan day and night. If we study the Lord's pastimes in Jagannath Puri, they're doing kirtan practically day and night. Kirtan of speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, kirtan of serving Vaishnavas, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways. And culmination is when all the devotees came together in that sweet mood of trying to please the Lord to sing the holy names. We should not underestimate or take for granted what we've been given. When we're leading a kirtan, or following a kirtan, or doing kirtan, either with devotees or with our families, or just chanting japa, we should be conscious that we are being entrusted with the most precious, priceless treasure in all creation, the Yuga Dharma. Kirtan is like a shower of the Lord's grace upon us and everybody that is affected. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar, the Lord has incarnated within the name. At the time when Lord Chaitanya invited everybody for the first public kirtan in the streets as a demonstration against the persecution of the Chandkazi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have come to this world to bring about a great rainstorm of Harinam kirtan to flood the entire city of Navadvip with ecstatic love of God." And that's what he was doing in South India as he was traveling. In fact, it is said in the scripture that the spiritual potency he exhibited in his travels to South India, the potency of giving bhakti, giving prema through nam to everyone and anyone, he did not demonstrate such potency even in Navadvip. When we are conscious of what we're actually doing when we're performing kirtan, and we appreciate, even if we have no realization, even if we hardly have a taste ourselves, still, we are being entrusted with the most powerful blessing of the prime benediction for all humanity. And if we're just grateful and appreciate that and chant and share it with others, that will please the Lord. And then the taste and the realization comes about. In Kurukshetra, thousands of people were chanting and dancing with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was showering upon them all with Krishna prema. Then a Brahmin, his name was Kurma Brahmin, he invited Lord Chaitanya to his home. When Lord Chaitanya came in his home, he washed the Lord's feet. Then he drank the water and distributed it to all of his family members to drink. He gave Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a nice sitting place, wonderful prasad. Then after fully satisfying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his services with folded hands, he offered prayers. He said, "Your two lotus feet are worshipped even by Lord Brahma and the greatest devas and sages. And today those same two lotus feet have come into my house to make it a sacred place." He said, "Today my life, my family, my wealth, and everything I have has become successful because you are pleased to come to my home and accept my service. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada writes that he was obviously a wealthy man. What is our success when the Lord is pleased to accept our service? That is the success of our family, our life, our wealth, and everything else. Having great wealth or small wealth is not the criteria of success. We may be living in a little clay hut, going out and begging for alms. Or we may be living in a nice flat in Mumbai, struggling middle class. Or we may be millionaires with tens and thousands of employees working under our direction. Or we may be billionaires affecting the entire world economy by the decisions we make. Which particular position we're in is not what's really important. Our success is how we utilize whatever we have in such a way that God is pleased. When Krishna is pleased to accept our service, that is our success. It is the quality of our consciousness that is all important, not just the quantity of what we have physically, or knowledge. We're going to be discussing in Sri Rangam about that South Indian Brahmin. He was practically illiterate. It's not the quantity of knowledge that is important. It is not the quantity of money or influence. It is the quality of our sincerity. The Kurma Brahmin said, "Everything in my life is successful because you are pleased to accept our service." Then he said, "I can no longer tolerate the waves of suffering of living within this materialistic life of this world. Therefore, it is my desire that I leave everything behind and I follow you, my Lord." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded, "You must never speak this way ever again. There is no need for you to leave your material situation. You just chant the names of Krishna. Yare deka thare kaha Krishna upadesh amara goi guru hoy thare desh." Chant the name of Krishna and share these teachings of Bhagavad Gita with others. In this way, become guru and remain where you are. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells, this was the message Lord Chaitanya gave to practically everyone wherever he went during his South Indian tour. Take care of your family. Do your occupation. No need to leave home. Just put Krishna in the center. And how do we do that? By chanting his holy names and trying to live as an empowered person to be compassionate toward others by delivering their souls with God's name and with the teachings. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling the Kurma Brahmin, share the message of Bhagavad Gita with these people. It means by our example and by our words, teaching people how to actually live with spiritual character. These are the two principles that Lord Chaitanya have made so simple. Just chant the names of Krishna and give people the teachings of Gita. That means, by our example and by our words, to teach people how to actually live with spiritual character, because that's what the Bhagavad Gita is about. All the philosophy of the Gita was meant to teach us that character of selfless devotion. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isami masucha. To surrender to Krishna. And Krishna teaches us the qualities of a devotee, what it means to surrender. It means to rise above the false ego, rise above our selfish desires, to understand I'm not this body or mind. I am the eternal soul. And the great thirst of the soul is the loving service of the Lord. Bhakti amam abhijanati yavan yashta smitatvata. Through such bhakti, through such devotion, through such selfless service, all of us have the opportunity to attain the supreme destination. So we have to live by this character, and we have to teach this character. Srila Prabhupada, through great efforts, he translated Bhagavad Gita into English, and it's been translated through that to almost every major language in the world. I remember in New York City, I was in a Srimad Bhagavatam class of Srila Prabhupada. This is in 1972. And he told devotees that you are distributing Bhagavad Gita, but are you reading Bhagavad Gita? It is not that we just give them. Prabhupada expected that we live the teachings as well as distribute the books. We live the books. Reading doesn't mean just academically studying. When Prabhupada says, are you reading my books? That means, are you applying these principles to your life? That's what it means to read. There was never anything superficial about Srila Prabhupada. To hear means to open our hearts to receive and to follow. If we're not following, we're not hearing. We may be listening, but hearing means to receive, to appreciate it, to follow it, and to be transformed by those teachings. So the simple lesson that Lord Chaitanya was giving everyone is so deep, we shouldn't take it as something very external. Just tell people about the Gita and chant the names. Telling people about the Gita means being a living example of the Gita. And with that example, teaching people how to live according to the character, according to the virtues of the Gita. In one conversation with Srila Prabhupada that was taped, Srila Prabhupada was discussing the development of good character. And this person who was interviewing him said, can I ask you a philosophical question? Srila Prabhupada's response, philosophy without good character is practically useless. It's the whole purpose of philosophy. Develop their good character. And what is good character? Simplicity. Being happy with some prasad, with the association of devotees, with Krishna's message, with Krishna's name, with some service, and whatever else is there. Our happiness is really in these simple things. And then whatever happens in this world, nothing can take away these simple things from us. And humility. And self-control. And an attitude of a great desire to serve with love and devotion. This is what it means to share the teachings of Gita with people. To live as a Vaishnava. And chant the names. That's practically all he told everyone, wherever he went. Just live as a Vaishnava. And share these teachings with others through this way. And chant the holy names. Lord Chaitanya spent the night at the Kurma Brahman's house. The next morning, he left. And the Kurma Brahman followed behind him. Couldn't give up his association. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you just follow these teachings, to chant the holy names and to teach whoever you meet, according to your capacity, try to share this beautiful message with others. He said, then there's no need to change your situation. There is no possibility, if you follow these simple teachings, that you will ever be entangled in materialistic life. In fact, if you just do this, I will come back to see you. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said, if you just follow these teachings, I will remain personally here with you forever, and we will never be separated. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching to you and me, to everyone. It's an eternal teaching. And the Lord who is within our heart is willing to reciprocate with each of us, just as he did with the Kurma Brahman. If we just accept the simple message. There was a man named Vasudev who lived not far away. He was rejected by society because he was suffering the horrible disease of leprosy, which is contagious. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. Usually in those days, lepers would just sleep on a riverbank or in a forest or someplace or a leper colony with other lepers. Almost like being persecuted because of a disease you have. But he was so compassionate. His disease was so acute that there were living worms eating his flesh away. And he was such a compassionate soul that when a worm would fall out of his body onto the ground, Vasudev would pick up that worm and place it back in the body from the exact place as far as possible where he fell from. How is that possible? Vasudev was under the understanding that I'm not this body. I'm an eternal soul living in this body. And these worms are also eternal souls living in this body. So why do I have rights and they don't? We cannot imitate this consciousness, but this is the way he applied the teachings of Gita to his life. He couldn't preach to anybody because nobody wanted anywhere near. He smelled so bad. His flesh was rotting. There was pus and blood coming out. There were worms all over him. But there's no impediment. He was merciful to the worms, who are also spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. When he heard that Lord Chaitanya was there, because of his humility, because of his compassion, because of his devotion, just hearing Lord Chaitanya's name, he knew for sure that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how is that possible, that he was so eager to know the Lord and see the Lord? It wasn't because of his education. It wasn't because of his influence in society. It wasn't because of his accomplishments. If we are just sincere, there is no impediment to receive the Lord's mercy in whatever position we're in. He went to the Kurma Brahmin's house. When he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left earlier that day, he felt that he lost the opportunity of a lifetime to surrender to the Lord in person. He fell unconscious in sorrow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to that place just to bestow his mercy upon Vasudeva. Can we imagine Vasudeva's happiness? After the agonizing reality that he missed the chance, he's looking outside, and there he sees the beautiful golden form of Mahaprabhu returning just for him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. With that embrace, all the leprosy disappeared. Vasudeva's body was beautiful and in perfect health. It was effulgent by the Lord's arms. And as far as we could tell, because Vasudeva was so concerned with kindness toward the worms, doesn't say this, but I believe that Lord Chaitanya, due to their association with Vasudeva, he sent all the worms back home, back to Godhead. With Shivananda Sen, he sent a dog, because Shivananda Sen was so kind and concerned about that dog went back to Godhead. After Vasudeva looked at himself, he was very happy. He was happy to be embraced by the Lord and very happy to see that now he's cured. After years and years of suffering. But he worried. In his mind, he was worried. Everyone who sees me will know that I have received the grace of the Lord. And this miracle took place. I may become proud and think myself better than another person who has not received such miraculous grace. And for a great devotee, it is known that pride ruins our devotional service. Because when we become arrogant, then whatever we do, however great or accomplished it may be, it doesn't please Krishna. And our whole purpose, our whole standard of success is how we please Krishna. Lord Chaitanya could understand the worry in the heart of Vasudeva. And he gave him the same instruction. Just chant the names of Krishna. Just chant the holy names of Krishna, and whoever you meet, you teach them the message of Krishna through your life and through your words. What that means is be an instrument of my compassion to whatever, to whoever you meet. And chant. And if you just do this, the great enemy of pride can never enter into your heart. Vasudev, he was so taken. He said, "My Lord, I can understand who you are. You must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because my body was so abominable. Its odors were so obnoxious that no one, even the most fallen people, no one would come even near to me. What to speak of touched my diseased, rotten flesh. But you embraced me with your own arms." He quoted from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudama Vipra. He said, "Who am I? I am just a very fallen, sinful friend of a Brahman. And who are you? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the All Pure, and yet you have embraced me with your two arms." After delivering Vasudev, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left to continue his journey to the south. And it describes, as he left, the Kurma Brahman and Vasudev embraced one another and cried in ecstatic love. This is very instructive and revealing. The testimony of two people when they receive the mercy of the Lord is their love for each other. Srila Prabhupada said, "You could show your love for me by how you cooperate together." That's a minimal thing. If we really have received Prabhupada's mercy deeply in our heart, then we'll not only just cooperate and tolerate, we'll actually love each other. Vasudev and the Kurma Brahman, because they were so connected by the mercy of the Lord, because Lord Chaitanya's mercy was so much the center between them, they loved each other. They embraced each other. They cried in ecstasy together as they spent the rest of their lives following the Lord's instruction, being an instrument of his compassion and chanting the holy name. And at this time, we will perform kirtan.